Welcome to another edition of The Last Negroes at Harvard. I'm Kent Garrett. This podcast is about being black in America for over 80 years. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024. One of the more absurd things that emerged from last night's State of the Union speech was the Joe Biden idea that the United States would build a floating pier off the coast of Gaza. The large pier would allow supplies and food to be delivered without having a fixed port. The dock would be put together in Cyprus by American troops. It would then be floated into position with no need to have, quote, American boots on the ground. Ships would then sail to the pier, which would be secured by anchors and docked there. Of course, the Israelis would continue their bombing of the Gazans, and of course, we would continue to provide bombs and missiles for them. We have two pieces that attest to the absurdity of it all. First, the piece from France 24 English.
For more on this, we can speak to our international affairs commentator, Douglas Herbert. Doug, good to see you. These are ambitious new aid initiatives. How exactly are they going to work, and are they going to be enough?
And why are we hearing about? Why are they necessary? Why do you need a maritime route to get aid in? And the easy answer to that question is because the road and the air initiatives to date have proven just not viable in the current context. What is the current context? It is intense, ongoing fighting and bombardment in southern Gaza by Israeli air forces, by Israeli soldiers. That fighting, if anything, has gotten more intense, and we have the looming Rafah land invasion. You have over 500,000 new refugees from the north in Gaza packed into a city that had a fraction of that population beforehand. You have World Food Organizations and UN aid organizations basically warning of looming famine in Gaza. So when I say they have not been able to get the food in through the trucks that have been allowed to get in, the aid organizations accusing Israeli forces of essentially, what boils it down to, of obstructing enough trucks from being able to get in. And we've seen the airdrops. The airdrops looked great for video clips, right, on social media, but they were more symbolic than anything else. It's a trickle of what is needed. So you say ambitious plans, very ambitious, to try to get a sea corridor, a maritime corridor from Cyprus to Gaza. Now, it's not going to just pull up to some port in Gaza. It doesn't exist, and unload the food, and there you go. Everyone's going to be well-fed and happily ever after. Not at all. You have the U.S. This project's going to take weeks to set up this temporary port. It's really more like a floating pier. It's going to involve actually that pier being built on U.S. ships because no U.S. troops are going to be boots on the ground. None of them are going to be in Gaza itself. So you have to build that floating pier, that jetty, if you will. You have to then get the food, the medicine, the water, the aid, brought it in by ships to other ships, and then somehow bring it to this floating pier. And then the distribution nightmare begins. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to get it great, get it to the floating pier. There's the food, there's the aid. Then what? And even if you have the miracle that the distribution somehow, the logistics are worked out, and people do start to see a lot of that aid, it's still no substitute, not me saying it, the aid organization saying it, no substitute for the overland routes, getting more trucks in, being permitted to deliver that aid to the populations that desperately need it.
Yeah, Doug, you were talking about those airdrops being sort of a, you know, big image, very symbolic. This too, sort of politics seem to be at play here because the U.S. Biden administration made this announcement just before Biden's State of the Union address.
Obviously, you know, Joe Biden, this is one of the biggest looming, perhaps roadblocks, obstacles. The perception among a large number of Americans, and especially the constituencies who helped build his coalition, his winning coalition in 2020, younger Democrats, more progressive Democrats, Arab Americans, Black Americans, all of these right now, a lot of these constituencies are the very ones who are most incensed at what they see as Biden's unjustified, as they see it, unconditional support for Israel. And yes, we do hear Biden. We could hear his own frustration because from Biden's perspective, from the White House perspective, they're bending over backwards to make it clear, including in the State of the Union, that they very much are incensed with the Israeli government. Yeah, they are upholding its right to defend itself, but they are incensed that the government hasn't, as they see it, let more aid in. And they have basically laid down the gauntlet to the Israeli government. Joe Biden himself said, well, actually, don't even, let's just hear what he said. He laid down the gauntlet to Israel in the speech last night.
Leadership of Israel, I say this. Humanitarian assistance cannot be a secondary consideration or a bargaining chip. Protecting and saving innocent lives has to be a priority.
It's a strong message, right? I mean, Biden can justifiably say that he has been trying, at least rhetorically, to bring as much pressure to bear on Israel to let that aid in. The problem is Israel isn't listening. Benjamin Netanyahu, to date at least, by all appearances, seems to put more of a premium on keeping his coalition together, which means doing the bidding of his far-right, ultra-nationalist, ultra-religious coalition partners, than on listening to the United States, which is their policies basically being no-goes for this far-right coalition. So Israel's not listening to Biden. At the same time, he's up against it in the U.S. with the progressive Democrats and the younger Democrats who are incensed at this policy. So will this help? My hunch is that it's not really going to help that much, because simply letting aid in or setting up a mechanism to get more aid in is not what a lot of the Americans who are so angry at Biden want, which is a ceasefire. And you saw some congresswomen holding up signs last night during the State of the Union, lasting ceasefire. That's what they want, and they want it now.
Second piece of absurdity is from the Breaking Points and Counterpoints news channels.
You see Israel continuing to block aid from getting in and allowing these protests to go on that, you know, are celebrating the starvation and keeping the aid out of the Gaza Strip. And of course, no ceasefire in sight, et cetera, et cetera. US had to resort pathetically to these, you know, piddly airdrops, which do basically nothing but attempt to have some sort of PR win, convincing people that we actually do care as we ship the bombs that kill innocent Palestinians. So the latest PR effort is they're going to send a temporary port that will take 30 to 60 days to construct, by the way, and has all of the same logistical problems that, you know, currently exist vis-a-vis aid. And also, by the way, require U.S. soldiers by the potentially thousands to go and construct this thing and how much amount of money. So it's just another, like, absurd boondoggle, completely morally bankrupt, because Biden realizes he has to at least pretend like he cares about the suffering of Palestinians, when obviously the very clear answer is use the immense leverage we have to end the bombing and stop the suffering.
Yeah, and it would be cheaper too, actually, and humanitarian. It's super ironic, right? And so I did a lot of research actually into this, into what would take this. This is gonna require the US Army Corps of Engineers. It is going to require possibly tens of thousands of troops, because what people are forgetting is we are not just creating a port the way that we did in D-Day, like whenever we had to land things on the beach in Normandy. We are also now undergoing a massive naval effort out of Cyprus, which will require airlifting and putting supplies onto Cyprus, then using our ships to actually ship them, basically transship to this fake port. Then, and this is the critical part that everybody is forgetting, the Israelis are saying that this op is coordinated with them, which means what? They will be security screening U.S. military aid that is now going into the Gaza Strip. Can you who is the superpower here? I have to quote Bill Clinton. We have given these people billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they will refuse to allow aid in this at the request of the United States government, such that they are now asking us to build some fake port on the other side. It will cost tens of billions. It will cost more to do this than it would if we were just withholding some of this aid. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I would be remiss if I didn't say, at the very same time, the Biden administration just yesterday actually requested from the Pentagon the list of the weapons that we're actually shipping to Israel, not in order to say that we're going to be blocking weapons or any of that, but simply to itemize and to strategically like figure out which ones that they may need and to send. So we are both planning to basically ship the bombs that are being dropped and then simultaneously allowing this government, you know, to block aid that is going into Gaza while we then try to pay for the aid over here. It's madness. It's like the it's Ukraine policy.
Galaxy brain.
It's like really it's Ukraine policy. It is we boosted oil prices to fund Putin's war and then we give weapons to Ukraine. It's like a never ending insanity cycle that's happening here.
I think it's PR ass covering is what it is. What they're trying to do. What Biden's trying to do here is make it look like he's doing something while he buys time for Netanyahu to continue to do what he wants to do, which is an ethnic cleansing and a genocide in Gaza. I think, honestly, that's what it boils down to, because you can't send them money, send them weapons, allow them to block 70% of the aid that's already trying to get in through Rafah, and then turn around and be like, well, we need to find a way to get them some aid, so we're going to build a port. You could just say you have to allow in
the aid. Right. Because ultimately, Israel is still going to be in control of what aid comes in.
They're monitoring our aid, Crystal. U.S. soldiers, they are going to be inspecting our military trucks.
Even explained how the aid is going to... I mean, to pretend like this is a serious plan, like I feel like even just pretending like that is to gaslight the audience, because the reality is they just want to have a talking point to pretend like they give a shit.
Exactly.
That's it. That's the whole thing. Because they know that they're screwed. And it took them forever to realize that, hey, you know what? A majority of Joe Biden 2020 voters think this is a genocide. A majority. Another 30% are like, I'm not sure. It could be a genocide. And you think that's not going to be an electoral issue for you? You're just now waking up to the fact that this could be a problem. So rather than shift the policy, which they're apparently completely unwilling to do, they're going to shift the rhetoric. They're going to pretend they're going to, you know, Kamala's going to come out and use some more strenuous language about that temporary ceasefire, which already the negotiations have fallen apart for. They're going to put this little PR bullshit in the State of the Union. They're going to drop some little piddly aid that does absolutely nothing so that they can keep their liberal cred and pretend like they care when the program is very clear. They do not care.
They are so dumb to think that this billion-dollar boondoggle is going to multi-billion dollar is going to fix their problem with voters. I mean, that is the really and the tell, I think, is what you said, Crystal, is that this is a 30 to 60 day setup process.
Right.
And the problem for people in Gaza that they purport by undergoing this boondoggle to want to solve is way more urgent than 30 to 60 days. That's at minimum. Mm-hmm. God only knows how long that takes and how many billions of dollars. We've already lost two Navy SEALs attempting to intercept Houthi missiles.
Mm-hmm.
This is galaxy brain.
Three more in Jordan.
Three more in Jordan, that's right. And so it's putting Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids
People,
it's a multi-billion dollar press release.
If any of these people are killed, I'm gonna freak out. I'm actually going to riot. Because it's one of those where it's like they're completely unnecessarily sacrificed because the Israeli government won't let aid in. I mean, it's just...
We
won't make them let it in. And again, it'd be cheaper, it'd be safer, it would be more humanitarian, like on every level. It's this thing, you don't even need a ceasefire the baseline of what I'm talking about. You just need to let this freaking aid in through the goddamn door, but they won't do it. I mean, the thing that really radicalized me, Crystal, I think people can tell I'm hopped up, is when they allow those bouncy castle protesters and then they take hostage families in downtown Tel Aviv and spray them like during the Jim Crow South with fire hoses. Mm-hmm. You're like, so we can get rid of protesters in Israel if we want to. And, you know, even today, you know, I was tweeting about this earlier and I started getting all these bombarded messages by the pro-Israel right and the crowd and all this. And they're like, well, you guys are the ones who you did an Iran deal. And so there's jujitsu where you supported Iran and thus you owe us to, you know, get fund Israel and all this. I'm like, no. You blew the shit out of this place. You made it literally uninhabitable. I'm like, what? First of all, why are you not paying for any of this? And if you're not going to, why are we not using our leverage to say, if we believe it is such a humanitarian disaster requiring, I mean, let's be honest here, in terms of our military response, I don't think the U.S. has done anything like this since, like, what is it?
I can't think of anything.
Haiti, maybe that earthquake. We all know how that went, by the way. And it's like, it's going to cost us an immense amount of money. But more importantly, I think it's just a humiliation on the world stage. How, like, if you're Saudi Arabia and we, you know, in the past, like, or in the future, we want you to do something. They know that they can literally stick their middle fingers up in our face, and we will still sell them anything. I mean, if any quote-unquote ally, including NATO, you know, congratulations to Sweden, is now in the alliance. We're now have to protect them with our nuclear umbrella. Why would anybody not think that we won't use our leverage in order to extract something that we won't want? And this is on a humanitarian issue. Imagine something, you know, different. So the precedent being set here is just horrible.
And it's Israel is already blocking over 70% of the aid getting in. And there was a phenomenal article that laid out just how extreme what they're doing is. They unload every truck.
Yeah,
and
no, I know.
If a truck has tents, because, you know, everybody lost their house, there's 2 million homeless people there now. If it has tents, they say, oh, the pipe that's used to build the tent, that could theoretically be used as a weapon. Now we're going to turn the entire truck around. Not just, like, take out the tent. The whole truck has to get turned around. So over 70% of the aid is getting blocked.
And that's the thing. Like, this doesn't solve their problem. Well, right? So, like, if you took them seriously.
The point isn't to solve the problem.
Right.
That's the thing. And the point is not to solve the problem. The point is to buy time for Israel to continue what they're doing. And it's even worse than blocking tents from coming in. They're blocking anesthesia for coming in.
Yeah,
we've covered how these babies are having their limbs amputated with no anesthesia.
Food, people are starving.
These images of these babies and these children who are starving to death. And that is our country that is funding the bombs and backing this government, providing them with diplomatic cover. I mean, it's just horrifying beyond belief. And it's insulting. It is insulting to think that the people who care about this issue, who are out there in the street protesting you right now, who are showing up and voting uncommitted, doing everything they can to say, for the love of God, this must stop. It is insulting to them that you think this is going to trick them for 1 second. It is not. They see right through it.
And the final absurdity is that the Gaza port gets built and is up and running, and the Israelis blow it up. By mistake, of course. I'm Kent Garrett.